Good morning.
Morning.
It's great to see Andrew and Ruth. Don't they look well? Give them a proper welcome back. It is great to be back. We missed you. For those of you that don't know, Carolyn and I just spent a week in Toronto, in Canada. We left when it was 7 degrees. And when we got there, it was minus 33. So I'm a bit chesty this morning because we literally just got whacked by this wall of coldness that no amount of clothing could protect you from. It was just one of those things where if you hadn't been an Eskimo for the last 4,000 years, you had absolutely no chance of fighting the cold. But it was an amazing time for us. Not that this is an amazing stand. Never mind. Don't worry. Anyway, we kind of went with a lot of expectancy, and a real desire to hear from God. Should we just pray?
Yeah.
Come, Holy Spirit. You know, this is just a meeting of average people without the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, thank you. I thank you that you love us so much that you want to share your creation with us. I thank you that you love us so much that you would send your only son to die for a sinner like me. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you now, Holy Spirit, for being here. Would you fall again in this place right now? Please fall, Holy Spirit. In this place. Do you want more of the Holy Spirit this morning?
Yeah.
Why don't you just lift your hands to him right now? Just like that. Just like that. There's no secret to it. And receive from the Holy Spirit now. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. On every heart. On every soul, in Jesus' name. Thanks, Carl. Bless you. Thank you, mate. We kind of didn't know we were going to Toronto 2 months ago. We were pretty much, 2 or 3 months ago, we were pretty much just getting on with the life that God gave us. And in our house, that means 150 miles an hour every day from the moment you wake up to the moment you fall exhausted back into bed. Anyone else got a life like that? Yeah. It's called kids. It's called running a business. It's called being a leader in a church. If you've got any of those, then you have an understanding of why we have bags coming down our eyes sometimes. It isn't how God wants us. It really isn't. But it is how we end up, because we do so many things in our strength and not in his. But the background to our going to Toronto was quite interesting. I got a phone call from Martin who said, God has said to me, you guys need to go to Toronto. What do you do with that? What do you do? Do you say, boss, you've heard wrong? Do you say, you ain't holy enough for God to speak to you? He would speak directly to us. Or do you just simply go, okay, we'll go? Well, we did the third thing. We said, okay, we'll go. You know, we as people hungry for God, we want something fresh all the time. It doesn't have to be something new, but we want it fresh. You know, I don't know how often you buy fruit, but there's a bit of a giveaway that the bananas look the same as the ones you bought last week. The difference is, they're fresh. They're just fresh. They've got all the same goodness, all the same nutrients. They're just fresh. I actually love it. I wasn't going to preach on this. But I actually love it when I come into our house and Carolyn's been shopping. And on our kitchen table, we have this big, massive white bowl. And sometimes, about twice a year, Christmas and my birthday, I come in and there is just this enormous bowl of fruit. You know, grapes the size of Jaffa cakes. And also, and I just, it's a fantastic thing. You can smell it. You can smell it from the moment you walk in the house. We don't eat it, but you can, you know, you can. Well, our kids generally tend to mash it into the brand new wallpaper that Carl's very kindly put up for us while we were away. But leaders need refreshing. Do you know the best thing for you is that the leaders of this church get refreshed? That's not condescending at all. But if we're going to do a job as leaders of this church, we need to be fresh. We need to be renewed. We need to be spiritually filled all the time. You'll benefit from that. We do anyway. But you will. This church will. Teesside will. If people are constantly refreshed. You know, we went though and we said, let's just stay under the radar. Let's just sneak in. We'll sit at the back. We'll keep our heads down. We don't want particularly to raise any kind of profile. We don't have an awful lot of connection with Catch the Fire, to be honest with you. We're fairly new to all of that kind of stuff. And as I sat there on Thursday night on the stage being beamed out to God TV thinking, I thought we just wanted to stay under the radar. Here's the thing, when God wants something to be said, it's said. Yeah. When God wants people to know, they'll know. And no amount of us trying to stay under the radar was going to stop the fact that God is going to move in Teesside. I had a meeting with Chris a few months back and he said to me, I think I've found myself in the most exciting place on the planet. And I tend to agree with him. I really, really do. And we went expecting to hear from God. You know, Carolyn and I are not going to give you a massive preach this morning. If that disappoints you, get that religion out of you. All right? This morning, we're going to camp around the Spirit. Because that's what the Israelites did, you know. In the Old Testament, they would camp around the Spirit. And this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to camp around the Holy Spirit. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. We took that with us. We expected to hear. John 8:47 says, whoever is of God hears the Word of God. We took that with us. And Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. We took that with us as well. We went expecting to hear from God. Can I challenge you this morning? Did you walk through those doors expecting to hear from God? Because if you didn't, it's all right. Just do it now. Just calm yourselves down and say, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I expect to hear from you. On Christmas morning, my kids expect, I was going to say a present, that's not true. They expect a mountain of presents because we have a generous Father Christmas. What do you expect this morning? Because God's gifts are way better than any gift man could give you. What do you expect this morning? Expect to hear from God. We went with some heaviness, you know, over the last few months. We've been both pretty excited about a number of things. You know, nearly 90 people saved on Sunday nights is something that about four people in this church get excited about. It's amazing. You know, 90 people saved on Teesside in here in the last 4 months. I mean, come on! That's awesome. Awesome. We've had on this very carpet, we've had blood spilt from a man who fell from a height and had a stroke and smashed his face in, all right? That man is now working in the back building, putting our heating system up. I mean, do we serve a miraculous God? Or do we serve a miraculous God? We've had people stood at the front with cancer, healed of cancer. We've had a woman walk in with a pot on her leg and something like 5,088 bones broken in it. I exaggerate a little, I accept. Taking her pot off and running around the church saying, it doesn't hurt anymore. Like I say, four or five people in this church get excited about what's going on in this church. But there's kind of been a bit of a downside to that for us. There's been a heaviness, I have to say. There's been a heaviness for Carolyn and I because not everyone that has come to this church has received. Not everyone that has come to this church has taken on board what God has for them. And we've been a bit sad that some people that maybe were with us at one point have gone. You know, I haven't seen them for ages. You see a picture of them and you think, it's ages since I've seen them. I hope they're all right. And that's kind of been heavy on us. Then there's other people and we've been like, God's got a table for you. And they just have the starter. You know, I can't stand going out for a meal where someone says, you know, what do you fancy? And I'm like, oh, I'll have a full steak, I'll have chips, and I'll have all the works. And they say, what do you want? And someone says, I'll have three grapes and a nut. It's all prepared by the same chef. How much do you want? How much do you want to eat? And we've been a little bit heavy, I have to say, because not everyone has received what God has for them. You know, some people have kind of gone, I know it's the best sticky toffee pudding on the planet, but not for me. And by the way, it really is the best sticky toffee pudding. So we were a little bit heavy when we went. We were like, God, you know, we're really excited. There's loads of stuff going on. But there was just kind of like a sadness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a sadness over us because we're watching and some aren't receiving it. There's a wave coming and some aren't getting wet. And we were a bit sad about that, to be honest with you, quite heavy. And on the Monday night when we got there, fast asleep in bed, but dreaming, this sadness and heaviness was going round in my mind, going round in my head, and God spoke so clearly to me. Martin, on Tuesday night at A61, was talking about the fact that God is so economical with his words. He doesn't take 1,000 words to tell you what he needs to in 10 words, does he? And he said 4 very clear words to me, phrases to me. And the first one was, this is in my dream state, he said, not everyone is for you. And then he said, not everyone is with you. And at first I thought, well, I get that, you know, there's people out there that ain't going to be for us, and there's people out there that are going to be with us. And I suddenly realised that he was also on about in the church. I was like, wow. And then he said, just work with those who are. And this release came over me straight away. All that sadness and all that heaviness came off me. Do you know what? I am not responsible, and the leadership of this church is not responsible if people choose not to eat. You are. You're responsible. And so for me, all that heaviness came off me. And as that happened, God said to me, you will know them by their fruit. And where's Keena? A picture of you came straight away as he said that. So there's just a little bit of encouragement for you, Keena. Get yourself wet, love. Because God will use those who are hungry for him. And so I just felt totally released on the Monday night. I just felt totally released from people that don't want it. No amount of guns or cattle prods can force people. But that was for us. That was really, really good. Have I embarrassed you? No. Be blessed. That was an amazing start for us. And then on the Tuesday morning, we went to catch the fire. And it's been going for 20 years. And I don't know about you, but I have heard some stories. You know, I've heard good and I've heard different. You know, and we walked into that place and I went, oh, God, please don't let me sit next to a weirdo. Can I not sit next to somebody barking like a dog or running around like a horse? And by the way, I'm not saying anything about those people, and I'll tell you a story in a minute why I'm going to honour some of that. But I just didn't feel like it was for me, you know. I just wanted to be next to someone that was maybe a little bit sort of like me. And God being God, sat us next to a 65-year-old lady called Jenny, who we adopted for the week. Interesting story, Jenny's. She'll probably come over and see us one week. She lives in Canada, but she's got family in Scotland. And we didn't realise on the Tuesday, but we kind of adopted her as like our new aunt, really. And she told us with tears in her eyes one day that she was at this conference and it was very much the last chance for her. She'd not been going to church for a year, and she just felt that it was either walk away from it all or come back into the family now. And so for her, it was a massive week. You haven't got a clue who you're sitting next to, have you? This morning, you haven't got a clue who you're sitting next to. Even if you're married to them, Terrier. You really haven't. You really haven't got a clue who you're sitting next to. Because your relationship with God is one to one. One to one. And that lady received some massive healing during the week. Tuesday night, Cindy Jacobs sent in a prophecy, and her prophecy said, whilst the outpouring has been fantastic in Canada, England is next. Wow. Come on! Yes. She said, Europe will be ablaze with my glory, especially in France, and not one continent will be left out. Excited as I was, I said to God, I already know that, but thanks. But we do. We already know that, don't we? Yeah. We already know, because he's already promised us, that his spirit and his word, joint together, will set this country ablaze. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. It's going to happen whether you're for it or not. It's going to happen whether you're with it or not. It's going to happen. It's like, it's, come on! It's like, I've never heard you do that before.
It's inside, it's coming out.
Margaret, after 7,000 years, Margaret Ruddick has been baptised in the Holy Spirit. And I'm completely lost by that. But we went into a bookshop on the Monday night, and as I went into the bookshop, I just said, God, I'm gonna buy some books. Just tell me now who they're for. Just tell me now. So we wandered round, and I saw Cooking with a Wok, and I thought, Ernie? Where's Ernie? Cooking with a Wok. I thought, that's yours, my friend. Well then I saw this book, and it said, Say Goodbye to Powerless Christianity. Where's Les? That's for you, that one, Les. Come and get it. I bought it for him because I thought he looked like the guy on the front cover. Chris Dodsworth is so spiritual. He knows I'm going into a bookshop before I do. Because I got a text off Andy saying, Chris Dodsworth says, when you go into the bookshop, will I buy him this book, please, by Duncan Smith? Chris, you're so prophetic. That's for you, my friend. Where's Chris Edwards? Is she in creche? Can someone go and get her? Can someone go and get Chris Edwards? Sinner, what's she doing in creche? This one says, you see bones, I see an army. Stephen, it's for you, mate. I don't know if any of you know Stephen, but this is Carolyn's brother, Stephen. Him and Sarah have decided to join our church for however long. Bless you. Tom, can you give him a tithing form, mate, please? Amy and Conrad, take a seat, Chris. Sinners, sit over there. Amy and Conrad, I've got this one called The Light Giver, and I just thought of you two. Come on, a date to come and get it. It's only $18.95, so you'll be fine. Yeah. Just want to give you that. You know, God loves Christian marriages. Just lift your hands to them now, and just bless them. Bless their marriage, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless you guys. Read it together. Read it together. All right. Do a page each. The grace of giving. Chris Edwards, where are you? Come here. The grace of giving. This one's for Chris. Again, it's by a guy called Che Arn, but you don't look anything like that. But that's for you. That's for you. Bless you, Chris. And Chris, just before you go back into creche, I have a word for you. And the word is this. From God. My spiritual dialogue with you has only just started. It's the tip of the iceberg. Expect a torrential downpour that, looking back, you will describe as one of several wet seasons in your journey of hearing God's voice. Now get back in creche. You know, the next 2 days were pretty average. Tuesday and Wednesday, they were okay, but nothing amazing. And on the Wednesday night, we sat on the bed in the hotel and went, all this way? All that money? And I started to write a text to Martin saying, brother, you don't understand God's voice at all. And then we stopped all of our negativity. Because surprisingly, Stephen, I occasionally can be negative. And said, God, we're pressing in for what you said. You know, you can expect to hear God's voice. But he also calls us to press in. To hear his voice. Isaiah 55 verse 3 says, incline your ear and come to me hear that your soul may live. To incline your ear takes a bit of effort, doesn't it? And so that Wednesday night we said, we are not leaving here, we are not going from here, we will not settle for nothing. We want to hear from you, we must hear from you. And we went to bed on the Wednesday night having said that. And on Thursday morning when we woke up, we knew that that was the day.
Yeah, so on the Thursday morning, we got up and we'd gone into the church. We'd got there early thinking that we'll get a good seat, but there was about 300 or 400 people in front of us in a queue. So we ended up at the back again. But anyway, so we put our stuff on the chair and we went into the cafe and just we're having a drink. We were sat with Jenny, talking with Jenny, and we got talking to another couple. And then we also... this lady came over and sat with us, totally not interested in anything we had to say at all. And Ian had said, so tell us a little bit about you, really. So she started to share a story. She was a pastor in New York, and she's battered basically by life, really. She'd tried to give her life to doing what God had called her to. Marriage had broken down. She had to go back to work, look after a family. Just lots and lots of things had happened to kind of knock her down, really. And she was really struggling. So we sat and we were just talking with her and praying with her. And we were sat and we could hear this awesome worship in the other room. And in my heart, I'm like, oh, that sounds awesome. But then I was thinking, no, this is where we need to be. And then... And as we sat and sort of shared and prayed with her, she just really broke down. God smashed in and then mended her and sent her on her way, really. And we spent a long time with her. Pretty awesome, really. And she emailed us late last night, actually, just to say how God had really blessed, how God had just used us to bless her. And she was sending us double blessings. I love that. So then we went into this service quite high, really, because we'd had this opportunity for God to use us. Sat in, and Bill Johnson in the morning, and he talked about whether you're giving bread or whether you're giving a seed, and he did a bit of an appeal. That was fine. And then Carol Arnott got up for the second session, and just the power of God was so on her, and this was our change session, if you like, really, where God really spoke to us. And she was sharing, she just got up to share, really, about a dream that God had given her. And I think it's relevant for every single one of us, not just because we were there, but every single one of our own lives, really. And just a little background before I went, on the Tuesday night session of A61, Ian had spoke about Corrie Ten Boom, about how she'd been listening to a guy preach. For those of you who were there, you'll remember this. And what's on your altar? And Corrie Ten Boom had said to God, in desperation, Lord, is my altar empty? And God said, yes, Corrie, it is. And God broke her, put her back together again, and she went off to be doing mighty work for God, really. And as she said that, the Holy Spirit just said to me, Carolyn, what's on your altar? And I was like... And I thought, yeah, I'll deal with that one maybe a bit later on, Lord. And so I knew that God had started a work, actually. And then also, when he was speaking that Sunday as well, that Tuesday night, a deer, for those that remember, was there just outside that window. And Terry has shared the scripture, which I'm going to read, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And that spoke deep, deep into my heart. I was like, does my soul pant for God? Does my soul long for the living water of God? And so I'd gone with that in mind, really. And Carol got up and she shared. She said that she had a dream this one night. And it was a Saturday night. Her husband was away and she'd gone to bed and said, Lord, if you want me to go to church in the morning, I'm not setting my alarm, just wake me up. So she'd gone to bed with not particularly any intention of going to church. And she had a dream. And in the dream, she saw herself in the front of their church. She wasn't on the stage, she was kind of just stood on the ground. And in the dream, the Holy Spirit came and was spinning around her and lifted her up to the top of the church. And she thought, Lord, I'm going to go through the ceiling here. But he brought her back down. And as he brought her back down, she just looked out. And God gave her a word for the church. And the word for the church was, for too long, the wave has come. This wave has come and it's coming to an end. But for too long, you've lived, abused my grace. You know, I need you to understand that, you know, about the grace, but also about God being a God. And she looked out over the church. There was three men at the back of the church dressed in suits, talking about her. And she looked at them and she went to go and talk to them. As she went to step towards them, they fell down. And she thought, what is... Are they dead? You know, she just kind of looked at them. And then so there was a man near the door pacing backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And God said, leave them and go to that man over there. So she went to the man and God gave her a word and just said to this man in this dream, it was all in the dream, you're having an adulterous relationship with your secretary. Leave the relationship and repent before God. Get your life right. So he fell to his knees, confessed and... when she woke up, she was saying to God, what is this? And she felt that God was saying that, you know, for this new wave of revival, which is bigger than any of the ones that we've seen in the past, we need to be right before God. We need to be totally surrendered. Every part of our life needs to be surrendered before God. And we need to turn from things that are not of God and put our life in order before him. Because there was a warning as well. You know, if we can't get our lives right, then we're going to miss it. But two, she was saying there was a bit of a, you know, the men that had dropped down, what God could do there. And I was like, whoa. And then as she woke up, she thought, oh, it's 10 o'clock and their church started to 10:30. But, God said to her, she thought, I won't go today. And God said, get yourself dressed, get your hair done, get your makeup on and get yourself to church. So she got ready. And as we do, we kind of take a bit longer than men, don't we? So she was getting to church for about 11:30. And as she arrived in church, when you watch her on telly, you think she's like quite strong and bold and all that. And she is. But obviously, she arrived in the church and she thought, oh, I'll just sit at the back where no one can see me. And God went, no. Sit in your seat at the front. And she's like, oh, Lord, I can't do that. I'm an hour late. Sit in your seat in the front. So she kind of walked around to where her seat was. And she said, I have no idea who was sat in my seat, but I had purpose on my face. And as they saw me, they fled. She said, and I just sat in my seat. And she was like, you want me to deliver it today, Lord? Do you want me to deliver it today? And he went, no, I'm testing your obedience. So God had shown her something, but then tested her obedience with it. He said, I'll show you when the time is right to bring it. So she brought it to this conference, to everyone that was there. And when she shared it, she challenged us. Is our life right before God? Is your life? My challenge to you guys is your life right before God? You know, God is a God of grace, but are we living right? Are we living right? And she said, she made an altar call, really, for anyone that wanted to get their life right before God. And Ian just... was like, he was like, ran, really, pretty much ran, and I followed, and like everyone was up and trying to get forward. So she said, look, there's so many of you at the front, just kneel where you are, you know, just kneel where you are. So we were kneeling. I was nowhere near where Ian was, and she said, you know, ask God to show you something in your life. And then God just said to me, what's on your altar, Carolyn? And I was like, nothing, Lord. Because I knew he was going to ask me. I knew there was nothing on my altar. And I was like, nothing, Lord. I put things on and then I take it back. I put things on and then I take them back. And God said to me, okay. So we start again then. So I was like, okay. So in my picture, vision, he took me to the cross. And in the picture, there was the cross before me, and God was at my side here. And I was pretty much laid on the floor, actually. I wasn't nailed, I was laid on the floor. And God said to me, you know, for all those things in your life, for all those lies that you've told where you can't forgive yourself, Jesus died for you. And as he said that, the blood of Jesus just dripped down onto me. I'm doing quite well here because I'm not crying. Last two times I've shared it, I've cried. And I was like, and then he said, for all those sins in your life that you can't forgive yourself for, this is what happened for you. As the blood dripped, dripped, dripped all over me. And he said, for everything in your life that you think is unforgivable, that hasn't been forgiven, I died on this cross for you. And the blood just dripped over me. And God said to me, are you prepared to put yourself on the altar now? And I lay there, and I sat there on my knees, and I was like, everything in my heart says yes, but my head knows how hard this is going to be. If I say yes now, Lord, I know what you're asking of me. So I was like, I'm going to go with my heart. My mind is going to go with my heart. And yes, I'm going to put myself on this altar, Lord. So in the picture, because there was like an altar there as well, and God kind of put me on the altar. And then he said to me, so what about your marriage, Carolyn? Is your marriage on the altar? And he took my wedding ring off my hand. And I was like, he said, if I put this on, can I put it on the altar? You know, your relationship with your husband, do you honour him? Do you respect him? You know, everything that God intended a marriage to be, is that on the altar? Is that how you think of him? And and I went, no, that's not going on. No. So God said, can I put this on the altar? Are you giving every part of your marriage to me? Every single part of yours and Ian's relationship, will that go on this altar? By this time, it was slightly easier, actually, because I think the one myself was the hardest. And I went, yeah, Lord. So that went on the altar as well. And then he said, what about your kids, Stephanie, Joel and James? Are they on the altar? Can you put them on the altar? And I was like, yeah, I can put them on the altar. I can, because when we went to Estonia, God challenged me before I went about putting my kids on the altar. So I said, I can. So when I put them on, they turned into stones, beautiful stones, diamonds, sapphire and a ruby. So I was quite happy with that one. But then he said, what about your extended family? What about your brothers? What about your dad? What about aunties and things like that? Can you put them on the altar? And I was like, I've never thought about putting them on the altar, Lord, actually. And he said, well, can we put them on the altar? And I went, yeah, I want you to put them on the altar. And as I put them on the altar, God reminded me of something I needed to talk to my brother about, Stephen. And I was actually going to share it and confess it to him in front of you guys, but I've already had the chance to do that, so. And as I shared it with him, I broke down, started crying, and he was like, I don't even remember. So praise the Lord. So God healed that. So, you know, and it's a constant journey, isn't it? When you lay it down on the altar, you're challenged by it, aren't you? And I just felt like God really healed and set me free, really, in me, and released me, and then showed me a few things, pictures and things like that. But what I think ultimately, when he showed me that for me, was about like not only a release and a freedom, but also it was enabling him to kind of start every day, if that makes sense. Because every day since then, he said to me, So, Carolyn, is this my day or is this your day? Are you on the altar or are you off the altar? And I think for every one of us, you know, for this wave to come, when this wave does come, which it will, the challenge is, are we right with God to ride the wave? You know, on the night time there was a prophetic word which took a long time to, it was off,
Heidi Baker,
about a wave coming, how big it was going to be, and about putting your hand in the hand of God and riding the wave and stepping on his feet and riding this wave with him. And that is the only way we're going to survive it, this massive, massive wave that's coming, to do it in God's strength, to do it with him in control.
Time has really flown this morning, and we haven't even gone through half of what we're going to share with you. Are you hungry?
No.
Do you want a bit more? Well, try and finish in 10 minutes if I can. If you need to go, just go. We'll judge you. Carol just shared a little bit about their own encounter. Back in 94, they'd had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, and the result of it was that John and Carol Arnott, who have stewarded the Toronto outpouring for the last 20 years brilliantly, decided that they would spend every morning worshipping God together. They gave every morning to him. Then they went to Argentina and were utterly blessed at the way the churches in Argentina were working together for a massive outpouring in South America. And then God really started to move in their own church. And John rang his own daughter, Laurie, and said, "Do you remember for years I've been saying to you that I would just love it if God would pour out his spirit on a church?" And she said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, it's happening. And it's happening in our church." And he was just blown away by that. But during one of their very early meetings, a Chinese guy called Gideon Chu came to their church. And remember I said there was a load of stuff went on that was kind of really different? Well, this Chinese guy, in the middle of this one service, starts roaring like a lion. Now, I know that happens in here every second Sunday. But he did. He starts roaring like a lion. And most people thought he was barking mad. And at the end of the service, but they let it go. They let him do it. And at the end of the service, Carol Arnott went up to him and said, "Why were you roaring like a lion?" He said, "Because God showed me that in China, for thousands of years, the dragon has oppressed the Chinese. They have been utterly oppressed. And today, the Lion of Judah is roaring across China. And 20 years later, China is leading the way in salvation. Millions and millions and millions of people. To the point that in 2013, and they showed a video in 2013, the West, the knowledgeable West, gave China a key, repented before them, and asked them to unlock the West on their behalf." Amazing. And Gideon Chu roared. And when you eventually realise why someone is doing that, it's not whack at all, is it? It's not nonsense at all to have somebody sat doing that, because God is birthing something in that man. But at the same time that Carolyn's having her encounter with God, I am on my knees down near the front, because when Carol said, you know, "I just ran. I couldn't get there." In fact, it was all I could do not to run before she'd finished. You know, it reminded me of when we went to see Reinhard Bonnke last year. Reinhard was sort of telling a story of, you know, confessing yourself before Jesus. And I tell you, if he'd have made an appeal, 400 so-called mature evangelists would have ran to the front and just fallen broken before him. It was that kind of encounter. Well, and this was for me. And as I knelt down, bowed down before him, he gave me a vision. It's kind of like soaking, really. I found myself in a metal container. And I didn't understand what kind of container it was at first. But I went down some stairs. And as I went down these stairs, there was a pool of water in front of me. And I knew I had to get in because I could feel God behind me. And I didn't dare look behind me because it was God. But I knew it was God. And I jumped into the pool and I began to swim down deeper and deeper and deeper. And I came to a hole. And I knew I had to swim through that hole. It was just deep enough to swim through. And I swam through. And as I swam through, I thought, "I'm going to lose my breath. I'm going to lose my breath." And I knew God was behind me. And as I came out the hole, like the pressure just took me straight up to the surface. And as I got to the surface, I took this massive breath. But then I suddenly realised I was in a furnace. And the furnace was this huge furnace, and it was roaring, like loud, and it was deafening. And I saw God's hand reach out and grab me out of the water. And I didn't look, I didn't dare look any further than his elbow. Because I knew it was God, and I didn't dare look any further. And he grabbed me out, and I knew he wanted me out of there. And he grabbed me out, and we slid away from this furnace. And then I'm out in the road, and God is behind me again. And I can see a beach. And I ran across the road to the beach. And I just knew God was like, get away. I could feel him pushing me away from this place. You know, pushing me away from this place. And I don't understand, but I'll go. We got to a pier, and I ran up a pier. Got to the other side. And I went to look back at what it was I'd ran away from. What it was God had taken me from. And every time I went to look, a piece of fence grew. So I couldn't see. And then I'd step a bit further and another piece of fence would grow. And I knew that God wasn't going to let me at that point see what I'd ran away from, what he'd taken me out of. And then I looked in front of me and there was a pyramid, two pyramids made in sand. And I stood on one pyramid and it completely crushed beneath me. And only after I'd crushed this pyramid beneath me was I able to look back. And as I looked back, I saw a crematorium with coffins on a conveyor belt going into the furnace, and mine was one of them. My coffin was one of them, and I thought, and I suddenly got a revelation of what I've been saved from. You know, if you're saved this morning, don't take it lightly. You know, if you've been saved, he's grabbed you from the pit of hell. You've got much to be thankful of today. And for me, it was just that, you know, you talk about abusing your grace. I've abused that every day. I've abused what I'm saved from and what I'm going to every day. That's why I ran. I was completely broken. I just knew that what I give to God is a tiny percentage of what he wants, but also what he's worth. You know, he's worth more than my 20 minutes on a morning, my 15 minutes exhausted as I get into bed at night. My couple of hours on a Tuesday, my Sunday morning. He's worth so much more than that. Not just in my time, but in my devotions to him. It's just a massive thing. And then I looked out, and I just knew I had to get into the sea, and this is the one moment that God saw me, and I could see the sea, and I started to swim, and I said, but God, I can't see the other side. And he went, it doesn't matter. That's all he said. It doesn't matter. Do you know what? We don't know where we're going. We have an idea. We know we're in the sea. There's a wave coming, but we can't see where we're going. Do you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That night I went home to the hotel and I was released in God's heavenly language. And he began to give me pictures, words, prophecy. And I've got loads of it for you now. The only sad bit was I got it at 5 a.m, which was kind of strange. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, I literally just got up and I just started to write. Sandy, I saw you driving a bus to the front door here with dozens of Romanians on them. And I was like, are they Romanians? And I'm looking, and dozens of Romanians. And God says, I know exactly who I am bringing into the kingdom. Just love them when they arrive. Is Alice here? You see? You have a day in bed and you miss God's word. It just says she's a sinner. No. I'm going to give you this to take back to Alice. But it says, for Alice, I know what it feels like to cling on with your fingernails. Oh. I read this 3 times this morning. It didn't affect me at all. But my son's hands and the nails he received at the cross. were to ensure that you absolutely. Do you not even hear? Without question, receive eternal life.
stay with me. That's for Alice. Do it with the same passion and emotion that I just did it with there. Pathetic. Sarah, I have a whole jewellery box full of rings, necklaces and bracelets for you to try on. Try as many on as you like. Keep the ones that are clearly for you, and I will use you to give away all of the others. Give some to us, because we'll sell them on eBay. Joanna, there are days when you question my love for you based on cold, calculated thought. But I tell you this, I have picked you out, cleaned you up, placed you on a high standing, and selected you for strategic investment. And Avril, every week, has she gone out? There she is. I'll have to tell you again now. You see, when you go to the toilet, you miss the word of God. We should have buckets under chairs in this place. Thus says the Lord. I've just given Joanna a word, Avril, and the word was that there are days when you question my love for you based on cold, calculated thought. Joanna, I tell you this. I've picked you out, cleaned you up, placed you on a high standing, and selected you for strategic investment. And the moment that God gave me that, he then said, and then tell Avril that every week you are to remind Joanna that she has been selected for strategic investment. Text her, phone her, and pray for her. Julia Jones isn't here. So I'll tell her she's a sinner another time. Lucy, I got a picture of you preparing soup from scratch in a kitchen, vegetables everywhere, a bit like our kitchen. And you're excited as you make it for someone, and you're like, oh, I wonder who I'm making this for. They're going to absolutely love this. But God says, I wanted you to make this for you. If you obey my word, the rewards are awesome. Conrad, you don't just get a book, you get a word. It all stops after 3 months. We ignore you then. Did you know I have amazing photos of you from when you were born until the day you breathe your last on this earth? They're on my walls and I love looking at them. And then there's a little bit for Andy here. Whenever you feel sad, I have a hula hoop for you. Hula hoop and you'll be full of joy. Big deal, really. Is John Healy here? No, John isn't here. All the sinners aren't here. Margaret, now that you're baptised in the Holy Spirit, I just got a picture of you with a shepherdess's hook. Because when a sheep's in trouble, the shepherd grabs it with the hook and yanks it out, don't they? And I see you telling some people to come and stand next to you on a Sunday morning service, to come and stand with you on a Sunday morning. It's different people. And the Holy Spirit is going to move on you so that you get these people into position week after week to be blessed. People will be unfocused until you approach them, men and women. And the good news is, it means you've got to get there early in order to select who those people are. You big sinner. Joe Huggins, sorry. This is just really important. This was a download. There was a multi-purpose travel socket in our wall. And I believe that God just gave me a picture of you, that you will apply different scripture solutions to different questions you're asked. Isn't that interesting? So is this bit. I believe God is calling you to read the Bible in 1 year. Chart it out and then do it. And Chris isn't here either. He's sinning down in the kids' work. But the word for Chris is, Chris, you want wisdom. Read Proverbs and then meet Stu for a coffee to chew it over. Isn't that interesting? So that means you might have to read Proverbs as well, Stu. It's next to Psalms in the Old Testament. I've got two for Paul and Stella. I'll give it to Paul properly, but I'll tell you Paul's as well, because they're juicy. But Stella, I saw you with lipstick marking people with it. I was like, what's she doing that for? And God said, because you're marking people for salvation. Interesting. First in the church hall, then in the streets, and you had a t-shirt on you and the word evangelist on the back. I know. And you would be referred to like Mother Teresa. I know. And people will say, why are they referring to you as Mother Teresa? And others will answer on your behalf and say, because you mark them one at a time. And Paul, King, who isn't here, but, you know, we honour our leaders, don't we? And we honour Paul. And but God just said to me about Paul, Paul, you move in the prophetic. I need you to bring regular corporate public words of prophecy to my people, both here and on an international scale. Obey my voice. So that just all happened. I'm so sorry that we've gone so far, but do you want more of Jesus? Yeah. Why don't you stand to your feet? I just want to remind you of two things. Carolyn's going to, you know, if you need to go, go. But listen, don't miss this. I want to be absolutely clear on this. We don't need to go to conferences to get what God has for us. We don't. The blessing isn't in a pocket of Canada. The blessing's everywhere. It's right here on Teesside. I think, you know, it had to be that we got called up on their stage. I think it had to be because God was just reminding us and you this morning that no matter what happens, what happens? He's got his hand on this part of the world. Did you know that you're here for strategic reasons? We went to see the tallest freestanding building in Toronto, 550 metres, the CN Tower. And in there it shows you all of the really tall buildings in the world. And one of them is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's called the Leaning Tower of Pisa because it is leaning. It sounds like a Chinese name, doesn't it? Leaning. But it kind of goes like that. And yet on it says that the tower is fully functional despite its dodgy foundations. This tower is fully functional despite us. God has chosen this group of people for a work, and we're not perfect, nor are we sorted, nor are we sinless, but we are chosen. Just close your eyes for a minute. Bill Johnson said in one of the sessions that really spoke to me, accept the fact that you are anointed. There's nothing big-headed about knowing that you're anointed. Nothing. Receive your anointing this morning. Maybe you felt like Carolyn did. Maybe you feel like there's nothing on your altar, or you put it on and then you just take it straight back off again. Well, why don't you make this morning, that first morning, when you say, I'm going to give you it all. I'm going to give you my schooling. I'm going to give you my family. I'm going to give you my health. I'm going to give you my finances. Julia is here. Julia is here. Julia, I see how hungry you are for more. Begin to dream for all the things you wanted from the Father. And in every case, they will be exceeded. Soak as often as you can, daily if possible. Is that not you? Jan, no, it was for you, Jan. Sorry, I'm just not very prophetic with names. That's for you, Jan. Or maybe you felt like me. Maybe you just got this massive, this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit just spoke to you about the fact that you are saved from the pit of hell for an eternity in heaven. And maybe you've abused that. Maybe you've taken it lightly. Well, maybe this morning is a really good time for God to remind us of what we are rescued from. Because when you know what you're rescued from, don't half make it easier to put stuff on the altar. And, you know, just, it's really late, but if you want to really incline your ear, if you really want to press in for what God has for you, why don't you just come to the front now? Why don't you just come to the front now? Don't worry if you don't want, but if you really want to press in, incline your ear. It takes effort. It takes effort to incline your ear. How hungry are you for more? If you stay in your seat, that's absolutely fine. You can receive where you are. But for some of you, maybe you just want to physically do this. Physically do this to receive more. And come and receive it. Just come and receive it. It's not about where you stand here today. It's about what your heart says. And your heart can say whatever it wants from your chair or here. But if you physically want to move, then come and move. Then come and move. And then let's just be really brave and patient and wait on the Holy Spirit for a minute. Just going to play you some music now. Just receive this. Receive this.